It's great to see you and your smiling faces this morning. Is there something great about the weather we're experiencing this weekend? I heard someone say that this is the time of year it's difficult to know how to dress in the morning, right? Because literally this morning at 40 degrees at 7 o'clock, you have to wear kind of warmer clothes, like winter. And then about now, it's about the springtime where it's about, you know, 60, 55, 60, 65. This afternoon will be summer, and then tonight will be fall. So you got to, like, dress accordingly throughout your day. Good luck with that, and enjoy the weather this weekend. That's just how it works. But it's beautiful here in Western New York. The colors, everything that's just God's creation, just a reminder of his presence, his power in our lives. And we're so glad you're here. In case we've never met, my name is Kevin, and my wife, Becky, who's up here at the beginning, we are the co-campus pastors here, and we're honored to have you with us. If you're a first-time guest, welcome. We'd love to meet you. Say hello. And we're so excited that you're with us for this series that we're in called When God Speaks. We heard the video there that we think about the power of our words. Our words are powerful, right? We have the ability, Scripture says, to even build someone up or to destroy someone based on our words. Then you think about God's words. He literally just said, let there be, and it happened. And God, that same Creator God, wants to speak into our lives every single day. In fact, the Scriptures tell us that he is always speaking. He speaks through so many ways, but he's always speaking to us. We talked about the first couple weeks of the series that he speaks because he wants to give us life and hope and peace, to know what it means to follow Jesus, to live life to the full. And we also, through the series, we talked about the first week that God is always working behind the scenes in our lives, always preparing us for what he's prepared for us in life. He doesn't just say, okay, I'm going to spin the world, leave you alone, and let you try to figure it out on your own. No, he wants a deep relationship with us that has communication and meaning and value and purpose. So we have a God who loves us and wants to interact with us. So we've been talking about in this series, When God Speaks, how God does speak to us. Last week, Becky talked about, as we look at kind of the primary ways that God speaks, we're looking at five throughout the series. We talked about last week that God speaks through his Holy Spirit. And if you're partaking with the readings that we've been doing through the resource When God Speaks, there's 5 days of readings, and we learn that the Holy Spirit is our advocate, that he is our counselor, that he is our teacher, that he wants to guide us and to help us in life, in every aspect of life, that he will even reveal things that God has placed in us, scriptures that maybe we read years ago. He'll pull out that truth for the time in which we need it. So we have the Spirit with us, not just with us, but in us who are followers of Christ. And so the goal of this series is to help you discern God's voice. Because we live in a world where there's a lot of voices that are saying, go this way, go that way, this is what it means to live. But if we could discern God's voice, we want to equip you through this series to discern and know God's voice so that you can respond in obedience to what he's having you do for this day. That's the goal. So Holy Spirit last week, and this week we're going to talk about how God speaks to us through his word. If you're taking notes, that's where we're going. God speaks to us through his word, his written word, the Bible. And again, this is one of the 5 primary ways we'll be talking about over the next 3 weeks as well. The Holy Spirit, the word, and then we'll hear the next 3 following this week. But I want to ask, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Psalm 119, or you can look on the screen. Listen to this passage. Psalm 119 talks all about God's word. I encourage you to read it sometime, even this coming week, particularly verse 105. It says this: your word, David writes, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Did you catch that? That God's word, it gives guidance and direction for us. A lamp is for the immediate responding area, like around you. Hold a lamp out, you can kind of see what's in front of you 2 or 3 feet. But a light, think about a headlight. You can see down the road as well. It gives us guidance for today and helps us know where to go tomorrow, what it looks like, what's ahead. Not too far ahead, but exactly what he needs for us tomorrow. God speaks through his word to give us, like I said, direction and guidance. And the Bible, God's written word, is the primary way that God communicates. It's the clearest way that God communicates to us. And so today, with that verse in mind, Psalm 119:105, I want to look at a scripture passage that maybe you know, but I want to see what the Bible has to say about itself. So if you want to turn to your scriptures or your Bible, your app, whatever you have, it'll be on the screens too. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, 2 Timothy in the New Testament. As you're turning there, I want to give you a little context. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. This is a mentor of him, of his, and he's basically telling him, if you're a Star Wars fan, his Padawan, right? So he's writing to Timothy, and he's saying, okay, young pastor, I want to give you some advice, some encouragement as you begin your new ministry work. There's a group of people who are followers of Christ in this region of the world. I want to just send this letter to you so you know how to lead and guide them, how to teach them as you're starting out in your ministry. And so Paul writes, and he writes specifically about how to handle God's word, how to teach God's word properly, just as Paul has learned. And so he writes this to 2 Timothy, and we can glean from his words to Timothy today on how we can handle God's word as well. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. It'll be on the screens, and so it might be a little bit different than the Bible in front of you or the one maybe you brought, but it says the same thing, just in different words. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning of verse 14 through 17, says this: "But you must remain faithful to the things that you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught by the Holy Scriptures from childhood." Maybe some of you can relate, that maybe you grew up in the church or you've been in the Bible just reading it since you were a kid. "And those Scriptures, they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus." And then verse 16, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." Now, this scripture slide up here, would you do something with me? Would you read this along with me one more time? Because this is kind of our main text for today. Let's read together. "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." Let's pray together. God, we've heard your word. We thank you for the gift of your written word. We thank you that it has the power, as we just read, to form us, to make us more like your Son. So we pray in these moments as we study it, as we reflect on it, may we not just hear the words, but would your Spirit, as we talked about last week, would your Spirit guide us? Would you lead us? Would you help us understand your truth that you want to communicate to us? That we'd not just know, but we would live differently. That we'd obey and respond in a way that pleases you. And so we thank you in advance, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to address three questions and give you three answers. So if you're a note taker, and I encourage you to pull up a piece of paper or pull up your phone if you want to make a note in there to look back at later. But here's three questions I want to address. Number one is, what is the Bible? We'll talk about that. What is the purpose of the Bible? And number three, how do we hear from God through the Bible? Maybe you've asked one or multiples of those questions, but we're going to answer those today. The first one is this: what is the Bible? Well, a little bit of history. The word Bible comes from the Greek word biblios, which means books. Did you know that? That's why we call it the Bible. It means books in Greek. And the Bible is made up of 66 books or letters, some of them, divided into two sections. We have the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant before Christ. That's what Testament means. That's made up of 39 books. And then we have the New Testament, or the New Covenant, which is the birth of Jesus, the beginning of the ministry, the new promise, the New Covenant, which is made up of 27 books or letters. Now, the Bible is like any other book on the earth. Did you know that's actually the most sold book, like top-selling book, every single year? It's actually the most stolen book as well. It's popular. Some of you may have two or three Bibles even in your own possession or at home. But it's a unique book because it was written over a period of 1,400 years by 40 authors from many different times and places and in different languages. In fact, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic, and the New Testament was written in Greek. Now, in 2 Timothy, which we read together, 3:16, we read that the Word of God is inspired, or it is the product of God's breath. Because the word there, inspired, is actually two words in the original Greek, and those two words are God and the word breathed, or God in breath. So really, what we're saying is the translation from the original Greek into English, because the Bible was not written in English, is it was God-breathed. Some translations say it wasn't just inspired, it was God-breathed. Now, this is a nod back to the creation account in Genesis. If you know the story of Genesis, when God created the world and literally his words said, let there be, and formed everything, and then he took dust from the ground and he made man on the sixth day, and what did he do? God breathed into Adam's nostrils. Breathed into his nostrils to give him breath. And that breath has been passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation to even us today. That God breathed, made something out of nothing, his breath breathed into Adam, passed down to even the breath we have today. Think about it. One of the signs we look for if someone's alive or not is if they're breathing. And so literally, this passage that tells us that God breathed with the same breath that he created humanity. He breathed life into the words. We talk about later that God is the living, God's word is a living, active word. He breathed into the words. And so even just the idea of the Greek, the translation, it's God breathed, literally, when we say inspired. So if you're taking notes, all that to say, the Bible is God's word, divinely inspired, God-breathed by the Holy Spirit through human writers to reveal who God is and his purposes to the world. That's what the Bible is. Is that a succinct definition? It's so much more than that, but to put it simply, I'm a simple person. I like to make it compact, make difficult things easy to understand. This is what Scripture is. So that's the first question, what is the Bible? Second, what is the purpose of the Bible? Paul says it in verse 14. He says the purpose of the Bible is to give you and me the wisdom, it says in verse 14, that you and I need to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. That's the purpose. It gives us wisdom. The Spirit uses the divine words, the God-breathed words, to help us understand and give us wisdom to know what it means to put our faith and trust in Jesus, to gain salvation that begins now. Not when we die, but life that begins now. And as we read the Bible, we discover truth. Truth about God, truth about our world, and truth about ourselves. Because we live in a world where people are looking for truth. It's hard to know what is true and what not is not true today. Would you agree? Just thinking about any topic in our culture. What really is true? Well, can I tell you the answer? Someone said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Truth is a person. And his name is Jesus. And so if we want to discern what truth is, and we understand that the living word, the words of God, this God-breathed book that actually is active and living, that Jesus is the living word. John said in John chapter 1 that the word became flesh and had made his dwelling among us, or some translations say he moved into the neighborhood. And so if you want to see the Bible lived out, excuse me, if you want to see the Bible lived out, it's the person of Jesus. And if you want to see what Jesus, like what he's made of and what he's like, it's the Bible. It's the written word of God. So Hebrews, with that in mind, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, says this on the screens. For the word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than a double-edged sword. A double-edged sword cuts both ways. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Like that's like intricate detail. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. In other words, the Scriptures open us up to the reality of what is true about Jesus, what is true about our world, and what is true about us. In fact, in the book of James, the author writes that the Bible is even described as a mirror that we look into that often reveals truth about ourselves that we don't want to know. that we don't want to look at, that we don't want to be reminded of. Some of you, like me, probably looked at a mirror this morning just getting ready, putting my contacts in, shaving, etc. I don't know about you, but when you look in a mirror, do you like everything you see? Typically not. I see, oh, there's another wrinkle. Is that another, not even gray hair anymore, is that a white hair on my head again? Right, like, I don't like looking in the mirror, and yet the scriptures say it's like looking into a mirror. It's alive and active. And that's why it's so hard for many of us to read God's word. It's almost like, I put it this way, as you read the Bible reads you. That's what Hebrews is talking about. It's a double-edged sword. Yeah, it's a great weapon, but it also cuts, opens us up. As we read scripture, it reads us. And this is why it's hard for us to read the Bible for many of us, because the Bible not only points out how good God is, but it also points out our sin. It points out how far we fall short of God's perfect, amazing holiness, his perfect standard, that he is God and we are not, and man, there is a huge chasm because of our sin. And it feels like sometimes we get stuck in that place. We say, I don't even want to look in the mirror. I don't even want to look in God's word because all I feel is guilt or shame. That's the enemy, though. That's not the Spirit of God. Because the good news is, in fact, the great news, the gospel news, is that as we read God's word shows us Jesus. And it shows us that God has opened a way for us to receive forgiveness and grace, and that we can be forgiven, and we can be washed clean, and we can be made new, no matter what your story, no matter what your past. That's why all this, the characters and literally the history of the world is written there, to see that God uses people who are faithful to him, and God uses people who even are not and try to destroy God's work. God is incredible. He can use what the enemy wants to use for evil and bring about incredible good. Just look at the resurrection. Look at Jesus' death, meant to say, we're going to wipe out your king, the enemy says. And God says, I'm going to use exactly what you wanted to think was the worst possible thing and make it the best possible thing. That's how I work. That's how I operate. And so all of us, this great news that it's also in the scriptures, we are invited to experience this new life in Christ as we put our faith and trust in Jesus. And what is this new life, you might be asking? Some of you are sitting here saying, how do we experience this life that Jesus offers? Well, that's why we need to read the Bible. We find out what it means to enter into this kingdom that he has brought to this world, that we get to worship and serve him, our king who gave his life, who showed us that to be great in his kingdom means to serve, to put everybody before you. Who would not want to follow that? Who would not want to be a part of that kingdom? And he says that if you do this by losing your life, by denying yourself, as hard as that is, you truly gain life because your life's not about you. It's about everybody around you. When your life's about everybody around you, that means other people are about you. This is the kingdom. This is the secret of God's kingdom. It's following Jesus and following him together to know that we have a king who knows that he is the truth, that he is the way, that he is the life. But you never will know how to experience it or to make it personal unless you pick up your Bible and you read about his kingdom and about who he is. And if we get into God's word each day and allow him to shape our thoughts, the Spirit will shape our values and shape our life's choices. God's word, like he said in scriptures, is alive and active, and he will begin to transform our minds, that he will make us more like Christ as we deposit God's truth in who we are. Because the reality is, you become who you hang out with. You become like the person you hang out with. You think like that person. And the Spirit of God working with the Word of God, listen to this, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us more like the Son of God. Can you say this with me? The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us like the Son of God. That combination together, our vulnerability to say, yes, I'm listening. We become more like Christ with an openness, allowing God to work in our lives, using his word, available anytime, anywhere, for us to open and allow the Spirit to teach us, as we talked about last week, to guide us, to lead us, to understand and become transformed, to experience life that God designed us to live. So how does the Spirit use the Bible, you might be asking, to make us more like Christ, to transform us? Well, that's what this key passage today was talking about. We'll break it down this way. There's four things we can learn from 2 Timothy 3:16. One of my favorite passages now. You might not forget it. If you know John 3:16, think 2 Timothy 3:16. Then you can go there. Look back at it all the time. The Bible teaches us is the first thing that we learn. That the Bible teaches us. Paul says that the Bible is useful for teaching. If you misunderstand God for who he is, or have a misunderstanding, a distorted misunderstanding of who he is, or distorted understanding of who he is, it can keep you from God. It can keep you from experiencing the life that he has for you. The Bible teaches us, as Scripture says, what is true. We talked about this. But it also teaches us what's wrong, while showing us the truth of who God is and his amazing love and his amazing grace that he's shown through Jesus. How can you get an accurate picture of God? How can you get an accurate picture of yourself? Read and reflect on God's word, the Bible. How can you know God's word for your life? Read and reflect and apply the truth that God teaches you in the Scriptures, in the Bible. So the first thing, the Bible, it teaches us. Secondly, the Bible corrects us. If you come to your Bible with your mind already made up and your attitude is kind of locked out, and you will not be coachable. If you think, I know how to do this, I don't want to do this. I know how to do things best. See, a good coach will help you see the truth about your performance. I remember coaches I had in Little League and high school football and you name it. These guys, they were watching what I was doing, and they were then giving me advice real time to say, you know what? I suggest that you try this, or try doing that, or what if you did it this way? And this way. And they worked with me. They didn't just yell at me. They didn't just say, man, you're horrible. No, they showed me what it looked like. They entered with me into that process. And to profit from a coach, guess what? You have to be coachable. There's a phrase that you hear people say all the time, that you need to be humble and be hungry. That's what our attitude needs to be for Scripture, that we should be humble and be hungry. To be open to learning, that every time we sit down in God's word, regardless if it's the millionth time you've opened it up or the first time, that maybe even just the process of saying, God, I want to hear what you have to say to me. Would you coach me? Would you teach me? Would you correct me today? Make me better because of our experience today. And when the Holy Spirit's out, Holy Spirit points out an attitude or an action in your life that needs to be changed, will you be angry or will you be grateful? Well, you say, yeah, that's where I needed to be corrected. I forgot that I'm doing this, or I didn't even realize I'm doing this in this relationship or this situation. So the Bible corrects us. The Bible teaches us. Number three, the Bible brings out the best in us. See, God will use his word to bring out the very best in you. Paul tells us that the Bible is useful for training in righteousness, not just correcting or teaching, but training in righteousness. He wants you to be righteous, and righteousness really is living in a way that pleases God, that honors God. As followers of Christ, we are all in training as we follow Jesus and study God's word, allowing God's word to be a lamp around our feet and a light to our path, where we're headed. Here's an example of how God's word trains us in righteousness. This is one of the things that I'm reminded of all the time. Here's a passage found in Colossians chapter 4. Paul writes this. He says, be wise in the very way, or in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So as I think about the relationships, it's talking about people who do not know Jesus yet. As I interact with them, I ask myself, is my conversation with others always gracious? Is it gracious? That's what this passage is asking me. Is it seasoned with salt so that the way I listen, the way I respond, the way I interact with someone who does not know Jesus, or if they do know Jesus, is in such a way that they want to be around me because they see God's light in me, that they want to hear more? Or am I just like everybody else who just, if I don't get something from them or I need something from them, then I just don't want anything to do with them? Or is it seasoned with salt? See, God's word trains us in love to bring out the best in us by his Holy Spirit working within us. Not only teaches us, corrects us, brings out the best in us, but number four, the Bible, listen to this, prepares and equips us for everything in life. I mean, who doesn't want that? It prepares and equips us for everything in life. See, Paul ends verse 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3 by saying, God uses his word to prepare and equip his people to do some of the works. No, it doesn't say that. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do most of the work. No, it says to prepare and equip his people to do every single good work. He uses his word to prepare us. I don't want to be in a situation where God can use me and I find myself unprepared, lacking knowledge or skill or having this rotten attitude. I want to be thoroughly equipped, have the right resources, being prepared to kind of know if something's coming my way. God says he will prepare us through his word. There's this rich resource called the Bible, the very word of God, so that we can be equipped and prepared for everything that God wants us to do. That he will prepare you for everything he's prepared for you. And he wants to use his word to do that. So lastly, what is the Bible? Purpose of the Bible. And then the third question I want to answer today, how do I hear from God through the Bible? This might be the biggest question people ask. How do I hear? Okay, I see, I understand what it is. I understand its purpose. How do I hear from God personally? Well, this is our part. We all play a part in this, but this is probably where we need to step up the most in our preparation and also in our participation with the Holy Spirit. When reading God's word, I want to give you three things that will help you hear God's word. The first one, letter A, is this. Have a plan and a place. Have a plan and a place. If you wanted to get together with me, to get to know me, or to talk with me, what do? We figure out a time and a place to get together, right? Otherwise, it probably won't happen. If we say, yeah, let's get together, guess what? It won't happen unless we say, here at this time. And so we need to have the same philosophy, the same attitude as we look at God's word. When we want to spend time with God, we need to have a plan and a place. People ask me all the time, well, Kevin, okay, when is the best time to spend time with God? Is it in the morning? You know, I'm kind of a morning person. Is it in the morning? Is it in the afternoon? Is it the evening? Is it the golden hour? That's a photographer's favorite time, I think, right? I don't know. But when is the best time? And this is my response to that. The best time to spend with God in his word is when you are at your best. If you're a morning person, it's in the morning. If you're an afternoon, if you're a 10 o'clock person, make time at 10 o'clock if you can. Whenever you are at best to best receive is the best time to spend time with God. Now, it'd be great to do it in the morning so you're thinking about it all day, but I'm a night person. I do it at night, so I think about it all night, and I wake up in the morning thinking about it. So whenever you are at your best, spend time with God. And maybe it's throughout the day. That's what I've been doing too, trying to learn, not exhausted, but like, here's a thought. Spend time with God throughout the day. The best time to spend time with God is when you are at your best. So that's having a place and then a plan. And having a plan also requires a reading plan. Like, you can't just open the God's word every time and just, let's just see what God has for me today and open up randomly. That God does speak through that, but I don't recommend it. There are reading plans available online. If you have the Bible app, which is a great app on your phone or online, you can download plans that are a week long by a certain theme, or you can do a year-long reading plan where you read a passage from the New Testament or the Old Testament or Proverbs or Psalms. Have a plan and do a plan with somebody else, maybe someone in your community group or a friend or a spouse or a coworker, whatever that may be, maybe even your kids. Have a plan, find a place, and go through the scripture together. If you're looking for a specific plan and you're like, Kevin, I don't know where to start. If you want to focus on Jesus, focus on the book of John and the Gospels. And then maybe the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And maybe you just read a chapter a day. Or maybe you're in a hard season of life right now. You just need encouragement. Start in Philippians. Philippians is known as the book or letter of encouragement. Paul wrote this letter inspired by God when he was in prison, house arrest. And he was just spilling encouragement out to the churches that he was writing to, for you and to me today, saying, don't forget these things. You can be encouraged by the book of Philippians. Or maybe you want to read more about God's word itself. How does the Bible describe itself more? Read Psalm 119. That whole chapter talks about God's word. We heard even Becky read Psalm earlier that the word of God is flawless. In fact, four times in Scripture it says that. Or maybe you're like, well, maybe I should start in Revelation. I wouldn't recommend starting in Revelation. It's not the most easily understood book of the Bible. I can give you the summary. We win. The details in between now and then, it's going to be kind of sketchy. How would you describe something that you don't know how to describe? That's what Paul was trying to figure out how to describe. There's detail there, or John was trying to describe. Don't start in Revelation. That's all I'm saying. We win. God's good. It's the revelation of Jesus. The end talks about what heaven's going to be like. And what's going to be like where the very presence of God is our light. There's no more sickness, pain, and death. There's hope in that. So have a plan and a place. B, read, reflect, and respond. This is another way that God can transform you. The Spirit can transform you by reading God's word. Read, reflect, and respond. Notice the progression here. When I spend time with God and his word, this is what I do. I'm very practical, and feel free to adopt this yourself. When I read scripture, I read it two times. I read it through just on my own, whether it's a chapter or maybe something stood out, a verse. I'll read it first for my head, and then I'll read it again slower for my heart. Because I don't know about you, but I have this tendency to read something, like back in college days or high school days when I was reading a textbook, and I'd read like, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 pages, and the next thing I know, I'm like, I was just seeing words. I don't even know what the heck. Nothing stuck. Nothing hit me. The same can happen in anything. So what if we were to take it to the point where we take it to the next level, where you meditate or reflect is the word I'm using here, where you read it first for your head, and then read it slower a second time for your heart, the key passage that God is pointing out. And then it's a matter of asking God after you read it, God, what are you trying to tell me here? What do you want to tell me specifically? Or how does this verse or this passage affect my life? Make it personal. Or what, God, do you want me to do now that I've just heard this? Kind of the so what, now what experience. Now that I know this, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to obey you after reading this? How do you want me to live differently? I want to share with you very practically what this could look like in a tangible way. In fact, there's a method for studying God's word. If you've been around me, you've heard me do this or say this before. And if you go in my office, you'll see many journals that I just have this philosophy in it when I spend time in God's word. Or if I'm not speaking, Becky is or someone else, I'll be taking notes and I do this philosophy. It's actually called the SOAP philosophy. Some of you have heard this before. In fact, if you have a piece of paper or you have a phone, I want you to just write down SOAP. Write it down vertically, S-O-A-P. This is how it works. You take a passage of scripture. Maybe, for example, when I was growing up, I would read, I wanted to become wise. I don't know if it ever happened, but I wanted to, someone said, if you want to get wisdom, seek wisdom. Proverbs is one of the books that the wisest man in the world, Solomon, wrote. So why don't you just read what Solomon had to say about life? So every day, whatever day of the week it was, so for example, today is the 23rd of October? Is that right? So I read the 23rd chapter of Proverbs in the morning. There's typically 31 days in a month. February messes that up. Pretty close, though. So basically, whatever day it is of that month, I would read that proverb that day just to start my day, just to think about it. So 23rd today. So let's just say, let's just pretend that today's Proverbs, one of my favorite verses is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. So I would read Proverbs chapter 3 on the third day of the month, and then what I would do is put it through this philosophy, this methodology of studying God's word, reflecting on it. And I'd write down one scripture verse from that day that I read. So for me, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I would write down on a piece of paper, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. One of my favorite verses. I've written it down hundreds of times. So I'd write that down. And it's a way to not just have it in your head, but also get it in your heart. A second way of not just reading it, but making it more personal and real, slower and writing it down. We write down everything that's most important to us in life, right? To remember so we don't forget. Why not do that when we spend time on God's word? Even if it's just one or two verses of what we read. So you write down the scripture. And then secondly, observation is what the O stands for. Basically, you put in your own words what that verse or verses were saying. For me, that verse I just shared with you, I'd write down underneath that, under the O, I'd write, Kev, I don't know if I write yourself in the first person or third person, trust in God. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. Look to him, and he will direct you with what you should do, when you should do it. My words, what the verse was saying. Just a way for me to make it personal, to make it real. Another way of saying, what does it mean? What is God saying to you? So scripture, observation, and then A, application. In other words, now that I know this, even in my own words I know this, what do you want me to do with this, God? How do you want this to change me? The so what, now what experience. Now what? Now that I know this. And this is where you could write down, and this is where I'd write down with that verse, I need to trust God with everything. I'm not God. He knows what's best. When I trust him, I let him be God, not me. And he'll guide me in every decision, in every choice. So God, today I choose to trust you with this relationship, with this scenario, with this situation. I look to you to guide me to take the next step. Something like that. And then not just the scripture, the observation, the application, but then also the P is prayer. And then just write down a one or two sentence prayer. God, thank you for your word. I trust you with all my heart. The things that are most precious to me are most precious to you as well. So I, in this moment, ask that this verse would not just be something I know, but it would be my life, that I would live it out. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. Just a simple prayer, one or two sentences for each one of these things. And I'll tell you what, that's just not reading the word, that's reflecting on the word, and that truly is, as we talked about, that is responding to God's voice, bringing it back to him. And when you pray scripture, man, there's no better way to pray because you're praying God's will. And he always answers those things because it's his will. It's not like what you want. It's what he wants. It's when Jesus said, God, not my will, but your will be done. So that's another way, one way, not the way, but one way to interact with scripture so that God can transform you. And then lastly, as we wrap up, C, not just having a plan and a place, not just reading, reflecting, and responding, but C, use other resources with the Bible. The Bible is the main thing, but there's other resources out there, things like Bible commentaries or things like Bible handbooks or Bible dictionaries or Bible encyclopedias where scholars and educators who are far wiser than me, who have great degrees and have studied and even know the original language so much better than me, the context, the key players, and what came out of where and how, what's connected to what, that they give insight and perspective, historical analytics and documentation to prove, even have pictures sometimes of what those things were and the context and the people and the region and the conflict that was happening. They can speak into the passage for you. And they give it available to you. You can get stuff online for free or you can pick stuff up online to be able to say, basically, here's my work. Use it as an insight. So every time I study God's word, sitting down for a message, I'll read it from my head. Then I'll read it through my heart. I'll do it like a soap process. And then I'll use other resources and say, what does someone else have to say who knows, who's smarter than me to know about this passage? And I'll bring them into the fold. And I'll, oh, that's interesting. Or, oh, okay, I kind of see where that person's going. Or I don't know what that person means. But it's just helpful to know what the context is and what's happening in this passage and their interpretation. And sometimes it's one verse or one word can be multiple pages from their insight. So they do all the work. But it's available for us to use. So get a commentary, if nothing else. I want to share with you a free resource that's online. It's called Bible Project or thebibleproject.com. And it's simply, if you've never been here, feel free to write this down. Go there sometime today. They have an app on your phone. And literally, it's a free commentary where they overview and they summarize every book of the Bible in 3 minutes, that book. And they'll actually take it and they'll animate, like, here's the big idea for this book or this section. Here's the flow of this document or this letter or this historical context. And they'll animate it right in front of your eyes with videos. You don't have to read anything. You can just watch a video and they'll show you with these incredible scholars coming together. Excuse me. In fact, if you want to see a sample of what this looks like, they printed out these posters that you can see even downstairs. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John down on the walls as you walk by the living room, our prayer room, and the kids' area. On the walls on both sides, you can see those books that the Bible Project produced right in front of your eyes. You can see the whole flow of everything. It's amazing. So I encourage you to do that, as well as also using different translations. Try a different translation. You heard me read of the New Living Translation this morning. That's a book or a translation I started reading like 5 years ago that was like, man, this is amazing. I just love how it's saying the same thing with different words, or the NRSV or the NIV, whatever it looks like. Just try to hear it differently. And lastly, as a closing thought, don't miss this. When you sense that God is speaking to you in another realm in regards to maybe a friend says something that God wants me to tell this to you, or maybe you have a dream that you feel like, is that God saying something to me? Or maybe there's a circumstance that happens, or a friend, or maybe you feel like, did the Spirit just say something? Can I encourage you? Whenever you feel like you heard God's voice, when you want to discern what he's saying, if it's from him, always bring that thought or that idea back to God's word. God will never contradict himself. So when you hear this thought or this idea, don't just say, oh, that's what God wants me to do. No, no, no. Bring it back to the clearest way that he communicates, which is his word. And see, and ask maybe these questions. Does what I just heard, what I feel like God's trying to say to me, does it match up with what I read in Scripture? Or does this align with what I know about God? And those are powerful questions that you have to ask in discerning, because God will never contradict himself. And his word is the clearest way that he speaks to us. And he invites all of us to meet with him as he speaks life into us, to teach us, to correct us in love, to train us in righteousness so that we can be prepared and equipped for every good thing he has prepared for us. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much that you are always speaking to us through your word. May we be a people who know that you love us, and that you have the best in store for us. And so I pray that as we spend time in your word, would you help us to develop a plan and a place and a time and people to come around us that we can ask each other, what's God saying to you? May that be a question that's heard around our community groups, around our families, that we would ask, what is God saying to you? Not in a boastful way, so we can hear what you revealed through your word and through your Holy Spirit, as we talked about these first couple weeks, and then the next three primary ways we speak over the next 3 weeks, so that we could be in tune with you, to be people who are on mission, participating with your Spirit, to see your kingdom and your life, the new life you offer, come to earth, so we experience it and those around us do as well. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.